This is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Celeste Headlee. Michelle Martin is away. We're going to spend some time today talking about money. In a few minutes, we'll ask how you can make some extra cash by selling either the junk around your house or the junker in your driveway. But first, a look at a much bigger and more serious economic issue. The national unemployment rate is at its lowest level in 5 years. It's now down to 7%. But in Puerto Rico, it's more than double that. The latest figures put unemployment there at nearly 15%. That's worse than any state in the continental United States. And we're joined by Michael Fletcher, who traveled to Puerto Rico to investigate the issue. He's a national economics reporter for The Washington Post, and he joins us from their offices in Washington, D.C. Michael, thanks for joining us.
Good to be here.
And also with us from her office in Puerto Rico, we have Rosario Rivera. She's an economics professor at the University of Puerto Rico. Rosario, welcome.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for having me.
So, Michael, during your reporting from Puerto Rico, I understand they have about $70 billion in debt. And just to put that into context, the city of Detroit filed for bankruptcy with $18 billion in debt and some change. Help us understand the gravity of the economic situation there.
It's probably far more serious than Detroit, as you know, Celeste. It's not only a bigger debt amount, but the economy is in equally or probably worse straits than Detroit's is. The labor force participation, for example, in Puerto Rico is 40%. And think about that. That means 3 out of 5 working age people are out of the labor force, not unemployed, but out of the labor force, not even looking for work. They've been in recession for, I think it's going on 8 years now. There's no economic growth to speak of. A lot of the economy is existing underground, essentially. The government's having a hard time collecting tax revenues. So you kind of have this situation where the string is being pulled on both ends. You really need to have some kind of government investment to stimulate the economy, to stimulate growth again. But there's no money to do that because all the money that the government can get, they have to sort of turn around to pay off this humongous debt. And they've taken a lot of austerity steps in the government, but it feels like they maybe are not enough.
Well, Professor Rivera, you've lived on the island your entire life. What does this look like on a daily basis when we talk about 40% participation level and an underground system of employment? What does that mean?
Well, as Michael said, we've been facing what we can call, it's more than a recession. It's not a recession anymore. It's more an structural problem, some sort of depression, economic ongoing depression that has been reducing our GNP almost by 14% since the recession started in 2006. And what we are looking at is the result of what was been an economic trend since the 70s, an economy that was slowing down and that was losing kind of its industrial base for some years, and then we have in 2006 the result of that. And what we are having is like basically, say, 7 to 8 years of recession, of structural recession, and we see a labor market that's been reducing since 2006, an informal economy that is growing.
Well, informal,
because we are losing the productive economy base.
Let me have you pause there for just a second. And Michael, can you explain what informal economy means?
It's what we in the States, here on the mainland, called an underground economy. It's where people are doing work for people, but kind of off the books or under the table. So an accountant may do the books for a business, but not bill that. And the problem with that is, okay, the accountant makes money, but the government is unable to tax that.
And that's right.
A huge problem for Puerto Rico, because they really have to figure out a way to step up their revenue generation. And a big part of their problem is the inability to collect taxes. Not only that, they have very favorable tax structures for corporations that's been kind of their calling card in terms of economic growth in the past. And they have to figure out a way, I think, to extract more money from foreign corporations without running them off the island. And one tax break went away in 2006. It was phased out over 10 years. And that's been kind of the proximate cause for the kind of the current more extreme downturn. So I don't envy Governor Garcia Padilla. He has a very, very tough job. It feels like he's getting pressure on both sides. And meanwhile, of course, bondholders in Wall Street are saying, you guys have to pay or you will not be permitted back into the into the money market, into the capital markets, and which, as we know, would be the death knell for any government.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about Puerto Rico's economic problems, and we're speaking with Michael Fletcher, who you just heard, national economics reporter at the Washington Post, and also Rosario Rivera, economics professor at the University of Puerto Rico. Rosario, give me an idea of what this looks like when you're walking around the streets of Puerto Rico. If there's 3 out of 5 people out of work, are there just people sitting at home? What's happening there?
The thing is that because of the reduction on the formal labor market, you have a lot of people working. And as Michael says, we have a lot of people working underground, so we don't quite see them. The distortion here is that because you're working on the informal or underground economy, you cannot say that you're working, so you have access to social transfers, to social programs, and what you see is a distortion that you say, oh, you have 39% of the people receiving social programs, so they are not working, and that is a distortion, because most of them are working.
Excuse the numbers.
That is informal work. You don't report it, you don't pay taxes, you hold a lot of cash that sums up with the social transfers, then you have a lot of cash available to spend. That's why consumption here hasn't had a reduction.
I see. Consumption hasn't had a reduction, but as Michael was explaining, there's a problem with taxes. All right, so
that is right. And it's because the tax system is very burdensome. It's very heavy for the working class. It's regressive. It's regressive. So it's a disincentive to work because you have to pay so much taxes. And then it's more attractive to be on the underground or receiving social aid or social programs, because working, it's highly taxed.
Right. So, Michael, we were talking about this being the government's problem, and you were talking about that the government of Puerto Rico. But what about the federal government? The White House created an economic advisory team on Puerto Rico. What is the U.S. government's responsibility here, or what kind of steps could they take if they had the will?
The White House is very much interested in keeping the Puerto Rico government afloat, essentially. They don't want to use the word bailout because they know a bailout would be a tough thing politically. But they know they cannot have Puerto Rico default. It would be catastrophic. Puerto Rico has built into its constitution strong protections for investors. So if you were to follow the constitution through a default, the governor would be obliged not to pay government workers, but then turn around and give that money to bondholders. But imagine the social chaos that would ensue if that were to happen. So as a practical matter, I don't think that can happen. And we've seen fallout already. Puerto Rico has gone into its biggest exodus of people since the 1950s. In the last couple of years alone, between 2010 and 2012, 1.5% of the population has left the island, and most of that is headed to the United States, New York, Orlando, Philadelphia, Tampa, Miami, where they're huge Puerto Rican populations, and particularly the middle class, even though it really extends beyond the middle class, but certainly people who are middle class and can get jobs on the mainland are going for them.
You know, Rosario, what the situation that you are both describing sounds not very much like Detroit, but more like Greece, the country of Greece to me, when you're talking about the government not paying government workers and paying off bondholders. Is there any danger of unrest in Puerto Rico?
There has been a lot of, comparisons between Greece and Puerto Rico. The thing is that unrest in Puerto Rico is not, it's not likely as we saw in Greece or other countries having the same fiscal crisis, because there is quite an easy solution to each individual crisis, and it's taking a plane to the United States.
Oh.
So that is like an escape valve. So you can release the pressure of the crisis because you can solve your problem rather easily. You take a plane and you go, and you leave the country. And that has a lot to do, that has everything to do with the political relationship with the United States, because we have that ease of movement. That's why we are like a migrant country for most of our lives since 1898.
So, Michael, what's the next step here with this economic advisory team coming out of the White House? Are we just waiting for someone to talk about what would be the best way to solve Puerto Rico's problem that clearly goes back decades?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, for the time being, I think they're cash flow problem is okay, but the time being is a number of months. The White House has downplayed so far this advisory team. They don't want to call it a financial control board. But tellingly, there's no end date for this advisory team's being in place. So I think what they want to do is really get inside the government, you know, see that what kind of decisions are being made fiscally and try to clamp down. But it feels to me like there's going to have to be some kind of infusion of money at some point or something to keep things going. The pensions are poorly funded. Cash flow is okay for the moment, but it's very precarious.
And is the U.S. government in any way financially responsible? Should Puerto Rico default?
Not directly, except it's Puerto Rico is part of the United States. That's the thing, you know. I mean, they're a U.S. territory. So again, if you had a default and say you got into a situation where government workers aren't being paid, I don't think that can stand for long. Just the social contract would be shredded if something like that happened, and I feel like the United States would be obliged to step in with some kind of bailout.
You have to take into account also that U.S. retail. Principal retail stores are here in Puerto Rico. If you go into the sales reports on the district sales of a lot of those great retail chain stores, major money-making machines are here.
Right, so, and we're going to have to end it there, Rosario. Unfortunately, I hate to interrupt you, but we're out of time. Rosario Rivera, economics professor at the University of Puerto Rico. She joined us from her office there. And Michael Fletcher, national economics reporter for the Washington Post, and he joined us from their newsroom in Washington, D.C. Thanks to both of you.
Pleasure.
Yeah, thank you.